All right, so there we go. Welcome back. As promised just before the break, it's that time of the month again, and I'm so excited. And the reason why I'm excited is perhaps Rev does not understand that, but from my point of view, I understand it because I get all the phone calls and all the emails from our client services. But we really have created such a following that our client services are now phoning to ask, when is the show with Reverend Paul Coupe? So this has become a tradition for almost 5 years now, by the way, Rev. And wow, we've been going at this. We've been going strong. And it's so awesome to welcome you. Hello, Rev. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks, Dwayne. Yeah, just recovering from a little bit of flu. But yeah, you know, and that brings us to kind of the conversation we're going to be having today. And one thing I love about it is, you know, I had the so-called COVID. I had it about, I think, two, if not three times or even more. And as a over 60-year-old woman, I recovered from it each time. And I'm thankful that my natural immunity kicked into place and was able to recognize the virus and deal with it. And, you know, we had gotten to a place where now the pharmaceutical companies were trying to develop a vaccine for each strain of COVID. And so now basically you were going to have to be taking vaccines all your life. And as we've known and as we said so many times, that God is not a fool, that he will not give you your natural immunity, that now you've got to be vaccinated against. Now it's Delta, now it's Omega, and the virus even tried to call itself after the names of God, you know, Omega and Alpha. And now you've got the Delta, and each time, and those of us who weren't vaccinated, we've dealt with all our natural immunity, God-given, have dealt with all the strains that are there, even the ones that have not even been thought up, you know, about. And remember that one of the things we said, Dwayne, during that time of COVID, and one of the things I remember saying is that South Africa, and this was a release by the medical department themselves, where they said we reached herd immunity. And it was a herd immunity of over 80%. Now, herd immunity simply means that the majority of South Africans, the majority of people in a nation now have immunity. And it was interesting to me that with only 20-something percent of people who were actually vaccinated, total figures in South Africa, we reached a herd immunity of over 80%. And these are not figures that we released. It's figures that the medical South Africa health department themselves released. So the question is, with only 20 something percent people vaccinated and an over 80% herd immunity, that means the majority of us, over 60% of the people who reached herd immunity, reached it through their own natural immunity. So in other words, it was going to happen without the vaccination. And so why didn't people and why didn't medics allow and wait for that natural immunity, which people had already said was going to happen, rather than risk an untested, untried vaccine, which we know was on clinical trial because we heard people say so. And people have been injured by that vaccine. And some people have even died as a result. And we even know, we have information of pharmaceutical CEOs who said that they knew the vaccine did not work. All that is out now. And so now, Dwayne, we see a resurgence because now here comes something. I'm not going to say a bad word, but here comes something in Afrikaans is now we see that they're trying to bring in a new vaccine, and it's under the name of monkeypox. So allegedly now there's this virus, which they call the monkeypox virus, and WHO, along with an organization called CDC. Now remember, CDC is the American organization that was, you know, led by people like Dr. Fauci, Anthony Fauci, who is now, you know, they're now really being under some serious investigation for a lot of fraudulent issues that are being alleged against them. So, yeah, but we have an Africa CDC as well. So CDC is not just limited to America, although I think its head office, they function predominantly from America, but we have an Africa CDC. And between WHO and CDC, they are now trying to push this monkeypox vaccine. So that is their agenda now. So this is part two of the COVID whole vaccine thing. We're barely trying to recover from the vaccine injuries that were caused by COVID. We're not even out of the woods yet. And now they want to bring more possible, you know, vaccine injuries again through an untested vaccine. And I want to talk to us today. So today's conversation is going to be about monkeypox, is going to be about things that you need to look out for, what you need to be careful about. And my information is coming from some of our best international medical experts. So I know some of you may already be saying, yeah, but Pearl, you're a lawyer. What do you know about this? I'm going with WHO because they're international experts. Well, the information I'm giving you is from of our top international medical and health experts. And I'm going to break it down to you bit by bit. So today we're going to deal with the issues around monkeypox, what you need to know, how you need to protect yourself and your family. Let's not be conned again.
Reb, so for interest's sake, two things that I quickly want to point out before we continue. The first one is I was over at the doctor's rooms this weekend, and I want to mention the name of the doctor's rooms. And as we sat there in the reception and we waited for the doctor, they've got all of these banners up in the reception. And the banner said, do your family a favor and make an appointment to come get vaccinated against this and against this and against this. So for me, that was very ironic. And then the second thing was, we had a pediatrician when my kids were small. And looking back, I'm very thankful for the pediatrician that I had, because I remember when my daughter had, let's say, for example, chickenpox. Now, some people will say, get your boy away from your daughter and go. Our pediatrician said, Go home and tell your boy to go kiss his sister. And my initial thought on that was, no, why? My boy is going to come sick. And our pediatrician said, no, you are building an immune system inside your child that acts as a natural barrier. And we've sort of changed the way we deal with these things, because the moment we've got something that is contagious in one of our kids at home, we say, let us a family take the knock, because we're building up our immune systems. And that is technically what we as a country and the world should have done through the vaccination process with COVID. We are there again. This is program number two. The exact same thing what they did with COVID is what they are trying to attempt now. Give us a bit of information. What are they attempting to do now?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, I want to say that the bulk of the information I'm going to be sharing with you comes from a group called SAVIMS. Now, SAVIMS stands for South Africa Vaccine Injury Medico-Legal Study Group. And it's actually led by a very dear friend of mine called Dr. Herman Edeling. And he and I were very much involved in the fight against COVID and the scams and the misinformation and, you know, things that surrounded COVID. So he and I were very involved. He more from a medical perspective, me more from a legal perspective. But Dr. Herman also gets involved legally. He's not only we call him like a medico-legal person, because he spends a lot of time in court as well. So he would be representing the health issues. If there are things that need to be proven in a court case, he has a lot of experience and knowledge in that. So he's a medical legal expert. He's a neurosurgeon who actually first qualified. I think he got his degree in 1975. So this is not somebody who graduated yesterday. Next year, I think he'll have been, 50 or 60 years, something like that in practice. He's been in practice for a long, long time. And he qualified as a neurosurgeon in 1992 and has been in private general neurosurgical practice for a long, long time, for many, many decades. And so this is somebody who's very, very qualified. He, like I said, he practices also in consulting and in medical, legal, neurosurgery. He also serves the South African Medical Legal Association as director. And he also serves as a member of the HPCSA, HPCSA, if you know it, is the Health Professionals Council of South Africa. So he also has served there as a member of their appeal tribunal. So I'm setting this as a foundation because, like I say, I don't want anybody out there saying, no, but Dr. So-and-so, you know, Pearl, he's a medical doctor and you're a lawyer. That's fine. I appreciate and understand that. But Dr. Herman Edeling is a medical legal person and he is well recognized internationally. And so SAVIMS is a reputable organization. They have a number of medical doctors of high repute, of international standing, who are brave enough to tell us the truth, who are not worried even about being, you know, taken off the practicing role because they're telling the truth, because they're telling the truth. Because we have compromised doctors out there who will compromise the information and give false information simply because they want to be allowed to practice. But we have a group of courageous doctors who are out there who are saying, listen, I swore an oath to, and it was an oath of allegiance to provide correct information and to make sure that I take care of people's health. And if you're one of those brave and courageous doctors, we salute you today. We salute you that you're willing to risk your being defamed. You're willing to stand out for the truth and stand up for the truth. You're willing even to take a financial knock, even where there's some corrupt medical practitioners who will rather compromise the truth and be allowed to practice for financial reasons than rather than tell the truth. So to Dr. Herman Edeling, to people like Dr. Susan Forslo, another very good dear friend of mine who specializes in you know, cardiology, one of the top cardiologists in the whole world. If you go to Cape Town and you go up halfway up that the mountain, Table Mountain, you will see a memorial plaque up there and halfway, and you will see it has Dr. Chris Bernard's name on it, recognizing his work. And the other name that's on it is Dr. Susan Forslo. And she has been harassed by the HPCSA that are trying to charge her because she told the truth about COVID and the fact that your natural immunity works better. And they're trying to harass and really try to intimidate her that way. But to all you medical doctors, Dr. Herman Edeling, Dr. Susan Forslo, we salute you and we say God richly bless you. And thank you for not giving in to lies. Thank you for not being a part of the counterfeit group of medical practitioners. Thank you for not being a part of the fearful, intimidated group, but standing up for justice, what is right and what is true. So I wanted to just preface my remarks with that before I go into. So now SAVIMS, as the chairperson, is Dr. Herman Edeling. And there are facts that they have laid out on the table. And these are the facts that I want to go through and share with you so that you know how to deal with this so-called monkeypox scourge. How should you respond to it as an individual, as a family? How should we respond to it as a nation, as Africa? And remember, Africa, we did very well. We had the lowest incidence of COVID. Remember that, Africa. We had the least number of vaccines, and we also had the lowest incidences and numbers of deaths from COVID. So that tells you, Africa, that we did something right. We did something right. Stick to it. If it ain't broke, don't try to fix it. We had the fewest vaccines, but we came out there, honey, smelling roses comparatively to other nations that vaccine and are still vaccinating up to today. We came out much, much better. So if anything, Africa should be teaching on what to do. And since clearly we did not, most of us, take the vaccine, that was a what to do. So yes, as I've said, Dr. Herman, he's written more than 3,000 medical legal reports. He's testified in court in more than 200 cases as an expert witness. So we're not dealing with a kindergarten person here. We're dealing with somebody who knows what you're saying. So, number one, let me say this about monkeypox. Excuse me. First of all, let me say that there is no, this is now, like I said, it's coming from the SAVIMS report written by Dr. Hermann Edeling and many of his expert medical colleagues. So first of all, there is no prescribed vaccine with documented level one scientific evidence for monkeypox. No prescribed vaccine. What am I saying? What does that mean? Let me break it down. I'm basically saying that there's no scientific evidence to show that the monkeypox vaccine has passed trials. No scientific evidence to show that it actually works. None of that. So in other words, they're doing exactly what they did with COVID. It's a clinical trial. There's no evidence to show that it works. So in other words, you are just becoming another guinea pig again. And we know that, unfortunately, some of the guinea pigs that were tried, you know, tested on, some of them unfortunately got vaccine injuries. Others unfortunately even died. And that's why we have a compensation fund in South Africa. And I always said to you South Africans, why, if the vaccine is 100% safe, why will there be a compensation fund? Why did Dr. Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma introduce a compensation fund for injuries and for deaths if the vaccine was 100% safe? You don't introduce a compensation fund for something that's 100% safe. Secondly, what we always used to say to you, why did the pharmaceuticals exclude themselves from liability? Why, if your vaccine works, why will you make government sign a non-liability document to say you cannot be sued if somebody suffers harm? If you are so certain that your vaccine works, why would you exclude liability? That is not a normal thing to do. You did it as pharmaceuticals because you knew, number one, the vaccine is fake, it's phony, it doesn't work, and you knew that it causes injury. And you knew that all the billions that you would have won through this vaccine would have been eradicated by people suing you. And that's why pharmaceuticals excluded liability. And I wouldn't be surprised, I haven't looked at the actual contract, you know, in terms of getting the monkeypox vaccine, but I'll say this, Duane, I wouldn't be surprised if the pharmaceuticals haven't once again excluded liability for themselves, because we know this is all about money. It's all about money. Show me the money, follow the money. You know, as somebody put out there on social media, I'm just going to quote them. They said, is it monkeypox or moneypox? Is the K silent? Is the K supposed to be silent in there? Maybe the K is silent because maybe it's moneypox. So, yeah, near. So this is it. So, yes.
Oh, that's just funny because they really stepped into it this time around, choosing monkeypox for moneypox. But anyway, please continue.
We're watching. We onto it. We know you made billions and billions of US dollars from the vaccines, etc. So we on to it. We know what's behind. So secondly, so as I said, no prescribed vaccine with documented level one. Remember? So there are different levels. Level one, scientific evidence for monkeypox. Now it's WHO who's recommending the viruses. And like I said, CDC, also the Africa CDC especially, they're the ones busy trying to roll this out right now. You've got the WHO Director General, Tedros, we know him. And the CDC Africa Director General is somebody called Jean or Jean. He may be French. So if he's French speaking, then it will be Jean Kaseya. And they're the ones that are now trying to push. They now made a statement to say that they have a clear plan to secure more than 10 million doses for Africa. 10 million, and they want to roll out 3 million monkeypox vaccines in 2024. So we're saying this because of the statement that WHO and Africa CDC is saying. So clearly, there's going to be a concerted effort to try to make you and your family get these vaccines. So as I've said, that no prescribed vaccine on documented level one scientific evidence for monkeypox. And so the what is being rolled out, again, this is from the report. What is being rolled out by WHO, they are recommending the rollout of live virus vaccines. And what are these live virus vaccines, Dwayne? These are actually live virus vaccines that, according to the report, are intended for smallpox, And they're just, therefore, just experimental for monkeypox. So apparently, these vaccines that they're rolling out are supposedly intended for smallpox and not even for monkeypox. So they're just trying a previous vaccine, which was never meant for monkeypox. Thirdly, the third thing that SAVIMS is saying, the SAVIMS report is saying, they say that they have already been reported, reported some serious adverse effects. Serious adverse effects. And they're saying that these serious adverse effects may even result in a resurgence. Of the smallpox virus, which has already been eradicated. It's been eradicated pretty much all over the world. But they are saying with this new rollout, it may actually result in a resurgence of the eradicated smallpox virus. So we've already, they're already seeing serious adverse effects. The other thing that they raised was the issue of mRNA vaccine. Now, I don't want to get too technical and too medical, but be careful of mRNA vaccines, which are being used to try to prevent or mitigate any infectious disease. There's a lot of scientific evidence that is showing concern, real concern concerning mRNA vaccine. Real concern around its potential harmful effects. And I know I've looked at studies also in terms of some of the vaccine rolls out now. And it, there's evidence showing that the rate of autism, for instance, the rate of autism is on the increase now. Autism is now on the increase, and there are allegations that to third world, so-called third world countries, developing countries like Africa, they send expired vaccines, and it is increasing the rate of autism. The rate of autism in Botswana, I remember dealing with one very sad case where a woman came to me to say both her children are autistic, both of them. And autism is such a very rare disease. It's a one in, I don't know how many, it's not something that happens. Now, when both your sons, who have both been vaccinated, and there's a link now showing link between autism and vaccinations, then, you know, there's a concern, and it really warrants more investigations and interrogation. So that's what I want to say. mRNA, be careful. They are warning and cautioning against mRNA vaccines. And what SAVIMS is saying is that the number of adverse bad reactions to experimental mRNA vaccine, they said that the concern far outweighs any possible benefit that may be derived from these vaccines. There are more concerns than there are any possible benefit. So the other thing I want to say, Dwayne, on this issue is the issue now. Now I'm coming in more as a lawyer. As a lawyer, I've talked a lot about the medical issues. As a lawyer, let me say, informed consent, informed consent. Now, informed consent was one of the issues we kept drumming into you guys during COVID, to say that you have a constitutionally entrenched right to informed consent. No person has any right to administer any medical treatment on you without the informed consent, administering that informed consent. It is something that is fulfilled in the law. It is something that is contained constitutionally, even in terms of international human rights documents and legal instruments. Informed consent is your right. Nobody can come to you and start poking and probing and giving you medical advice and treatment until and unless they have your informed consent. What does that mean to have your informed consent. It means as a patient, you must be competent. You must be able to understand what they're saying. As a patient, you must be adequately informed. And also it means you cannot be coerced. You cannot be forced, forcefully violated. So if you are coerced, if you are not properly informed, and if you're not competent to understand, then the aspect of informed consent is not applicable. It is not applicable in this instance. It is not applicable. So informed consent is your right. We hammered it into you during the COVID era, COVID time, and we're going to hammer it into you right now. Anybody who tries to forcefully inject you, vaccinate you against your will, please make sure that you let them know that they do not have your informed consent. Your informed consent.
Riz, so, what about our minors? Sorry for asking you this, but I don't know if you can remember, yeah. But during our first show that we did on COVID, the Department right. of Education, along with the Department of Health, issued a district memo where they said that these health organizations may pitch up at a school and may actually vaccinate the child without the consent of a parent. Will that be the case again? Can we be ready for something like that?
Well, unfortunately, because of the Children's Act, and that's why I say we need to look at the Children's Act. The Children's Act allowed them to do that. And that's why we took the approach of now, interacting with parents. And we did Zoom meetings where we trained parents. And essentially, our message was to say, parents, you're going to have to take control over your children. You're going to have to educate your children. You're going to have to let your children know that you do not want them to be vaccinated. And you're going to have to sensitize your children in such a way that if they train them that nobody is allowed to vaccinate them against their will. So the children have a right to refuse themselves. They did not need to consult with their parents in terms of the law, but that did not take away their right of refusal. They still had a right to refuse. And that's what we now train parents to say. You train your child that they have a right to refuse. And if the school authorities or the medical authorities try to forcefully vaccinate them, train them to say, I'm going to call my parents. I'm going to call my mother, et cetera. Train them to do that and to know that they have a right of refusal. So that's why we did that. So it's still the same case, still the same scenario, because like I said, that aspect of being able to perform medical treatments, including abortion on 12-year-olds, is a provision that comes from the Children's Act, unfortunately, and licenses them to do that. And that's why parents have to take back their power to train, teach, raise their children according to their values and their standards. They have to take it back by spending time on educating and sensitizing their own children. If they don't do that, the schools and the government will literally override your feelings, your desires, your values, your faith, and they will impose their own policies on your children that come out of your womb, that come out of your loins, that you are paying for, that you have a right to teach and train in line with your faith values. They can literally hijack your children and do what they want. If you do not take over that responsibility of teaching and training and equipping them. So it's very important that parents understand that. So in the same way, you still got to teach and train your children again. Keep it consistent. Keep it constant. Nobody's allowed to inject you without your permission. Nobody's allowed to administer any medical treatment unless you allow them. And according to what we are saying as your parents, we do not, if you do not want them to be vaccinated, tell them so. We do not want you to be vaccinated. And if anybody tries to force you to be vaccinated against your will, call mom, tell the school, tell the medical authorities that you want to speak to your parents or that they should speak to you, your parents, If the child doesn't want to, just say, talk to my mother. My mother's phone number is here. My father's phone number is here. Talk to my parent. But I'm not allowed at home. I'm not allowed to do that. So, yeah. So that's that.
So, Rev, just so for interest's sake, early on, well, in last week, I spoke to someone and someone said, you and Reverend Paul Kupay spoke about, before the elections, you spoke about the multi-party charter and you spoke about the coalition and blah, 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 blah. We are now seeing ministers changing stuff. Recently in the news, we saw that the new Minister of Agriculture exposed 500 million rand that's missing. Now, let's go back to the topic of our discussion point today. Before we went to the voting stations, we were all about voting for a party that represents our value system. And you were very outspoken about not voting just for someone that can offset the current ruling party. You were outspoken about voting for someone that represents what we stand for. Now, are we anticipating with our new presidency and the new term, are we still anticipating all of these under the table agendas, and are we anticipating it's still going as strong as it used to be, or are we actually now in a position where we have some seats in parliament to oppose these things, and or are we making ourselves ready for the next 5 years for these actions yet again?
Well, for me, I think the government of national unity, the beauty of it is that it takes away the ultimate power of one political party. You know, there's a saying that says that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts. So when you are in a position whereby you have always had the majority, you ultimately get to a place which we saw unfold, whereby you feel sometimes that you don't have to listen to anybody because you have the majority. And because you have the majority, you can impose and implement anything you want because of that majority. Well, that majority was taken away. And now, you know, the ruling party was forced to, not because they wanted to, but they were forced to form a government of national unity, which means other political parties are involved now, which means it's not just you calling the shots anymore in line with what you want to see happen and in line with what your agenda specifically is. So already there's been a dilution of that, and which means even some of the leaders that were appointed were not coming from your political party. So you had to give and take. And so because there have been leaders that have been appointed from different political parties, automatically that brings in a different value system already. So there will be some changes. All I'm saying is that as a result of that, different political leaders, we see ministers coming from different political parties, there will be some slight changes that are being made here and there. And the reason why I'm saying slight is because a lot of the things that determine how things are done legally. There's a law that's amended. Now, law doesn't get changed like that. The laws are still there, yeah. Dwayne. So it means that unless some of those laws are undone and unchanged, even some of the leaders cannot, there are certain changes they still cannot make until those laws are challenged. So there's so much change that can be made because you still have to operate within the framework of law. You still have to operate within the framework of policy, and policy really is structure that enables the law and empowers the law. So I'm just saying for now, we may not see maybe a lot of change, but I still believe there's a basis, there's a framework that has been laid down for change. Sure. Which we can improve on, which in the 2029 elections, now we need to be very focused and very purposeful and very intentional around how we effect that change in terms of bringing in new leadership, in terms of pushing back laws and bringing amendments to laws that are bringing in wrong policies and bringing in a wrong framework. That is set apart from what we want to see. So all I'm saying is there's hope. There's potential in going forward. I don't think we should expect a big, big, huge change because of the reasons I've advanced here, but there is a potential. It simply means we need to get our act together before 2029 so that we make sure that things are in place for a more radical kind of change that can take place coming 2029 and beyond.
Right, well, I've got hope, and I'm excited. Apart from our spiritual and our Christian values and beliefs, there is parties that said that we are opposed to corruption, and we don't want corruption to take place. Now, in that regard, I am positive. I'm very positive that a minister comes forward and says that I have identified $500 million corruption. So in that regard, I'm positive. Now, my question to you regarding our discussion point for today is wanting to implement this vaccination against monkeypox, is it only a green paper? Has it been pushed? What is our job now? Where is this in the process of legislation?
Well, I mean, there is no legislation, and I think they're going to be very, very careful about trying to bring any legislation, bearing in mind what happened last time and the enormous pushback and the cases that are in, because, I mean, you know, there are still cases. There are cases in labor court. There are cases at the CCMA where people were unfairly dismissed. They lost their jobs because they were not vaccinated. And there's a backlog of cases now. So I think they're going to be very, very careful about implementing any laws and policies out there. But again, we have to be very watchful. And for me, the main reason why I wanted to do this, you know, this, I think, well, number one was to educate people out there, because you cannot fight something that you don't know about. So you must be educated. You must be sensitized. You must know what's happening, what's going to come, so that you can respond to it in the right manner. So this was largely educational, to give you the options and to remind you about your constitutional rights, that you do have a constitutional right to informed consent, which means you have a constitutional right to refuse to be vaccinated. To give you some medical information in terms of the monkeypox vaccine, its development, it's still a clinical trial. There's no scientific evidence to support it, to support the fact that it works, to support the fact that it does not cause injury. So now you can take informed decisions that can protect you and your family from suffering any harm or otherwise. So that really was the purpose of this, is to say, let's not fall for it the way we fell for it last time. Make sure that you're properly educated, you're sensitized, and you can therefore take an informed decision that will protect your family, that is in the best interests of you, for you and your family. So that's really what the purpose of this was to say. So I really want to encourage everybody here who's on board, please, I want to encourage you to share this link as much as possible. Let's make it go viral. You know, did you get the pun? Viral. We're talking about viruses. So if there's anything that must go viral, let this session, this link that we're talking about, let this go viral. And let's not let let's not let that go viral. But let's make sure that this podcast, this session, let's make sure it goes viral so that people can have that liberty to protect their families and do what's in the best interest of their families. Yeah.
And Rev, I think at this point in time, given the fact that we've been going at this for a couple of years now, we can almost guarantee our followers and our listeners that's following us on our social media channels that if there's something major happening somewhere, Reverend Porcupine will get in contact with me and she'll say, Dwayne, we got to cover this. So if something is happening, the two of us aren't, obviously we talk to each other, but we will cover that. They just have to check out our social media pages so that we can be the eyes and the ears of the Church of Christ. You are very outspoken about that. By the way, that's one of my favorite words, ecclesia. I've learned that from you. So I use that everywhere.
Yes, the called out ones. who are called out for such a time as this. So yeah, I mean, it's an honor, Dwayne, to be out there as a gatekeeper, you know, standing for a gatekeeper, trying to do our best. As you know, we get no money for this. I don't get paid. I am 100% volunteer. I left a very lucrative law kind of practice, you know, very lucrative jobs, working for different organizations, including the UN, including, you know, as a former registrar of the labor court, as so many lucrative jobs. And I'm not trying to paint myself as a martyr or, you know, but I'm just saying that this is what gives us satisfaction. We do this as activists because we're trying to just help people, help society, you know, do better, live better lives, better fulfilled lives, you know, walk in health and fulfill the purpose that God has us out here for. And we always will come against injustice. Injustice is just something that's a personal hate of mine. I hate to see injustice. I hate to see people being scammed. I hate to see people being conned. I hate to see people benefiting because others are suffering. Others are suffering in any way. So righteousness and justice, Psalm 97:2 tells us, are the foundation of God's throne. God himself is passionate about justice, and he is justice. One of his names is justice. He's Jehovah El Mishpat, which means the Lord God of justice. And so that is really what drives us here. Like I said, we don't get paid. There's no sponsorship behind this. But we get paid by enjoy and in satisfaction, in seeing people live their best lives, in seeing deaths being reduced if possible, you know, in seeing injuries being reduced, all of that, which are possibilities. If vaccines are just rolled out nilly-willy like that, then, you know, then that increases the possibility of deaths and injuries. And that doesn't make us happy. We want to see people living their best lives because this is the most beautiful nation. Africa is the most beautiful continent. God has so much out there for us. We need to fulfill our kingdom mandate, kingdom agenda. God has prophetically said he's going to use Africa in this time, in this season. We have, health, herbal things that we use as Africans to help us get over illnesses. Live a healthy life, guys. Eat well, eat healthily, get your vitamin D out there. Vitamin D has been proven to be a huge, huge weapon of warfare against all sorts of viruses. We have plenty of natural vitamin D. Get your vitamin D out, but be sure to wear sunscreen as well. Exercise, eat organically as much as you can, eat well, don't overeat, you know, reduce your red meat intake, eat a lot of vegetables, all of that. Let's live good lives and let's purpose to be members of the community who will give back to the community and can serve our community, can develop our communities and can help build our nation. Genako! Yes.
And I think it's also important to mention that during the course of some of these years that we've been doing this, we've been approached by political parties. We've been approached by people saying, represent us. And we've always just said, our viewpoint from the start was, we are representing the kingdom of Christ. So this is not Dwayne and Pearl representing a party or a agenda, except the agenda of the word of God. And that is what we want to do. Right, Rev, before we say goodbye, what's up? What's going on in your calendar? Where can we see you? Where? What are you doing? What's exciting coming up?
Well, let me just thank God for surviving this Women's Month because I had over 10 conferences. I mean, in 2 weeks, I did 8 conferences in 2 weeks, you know, Nichal. Woo. Yeah. And that was there was a lot of grace that was needed for that. So I have my last 2 conferences this weekend, this Saturday. So I want to encourage you. Thank you for celebrating Women's Month with us, all of you out there. And like I always say, please, South Africa, let's not just celebrate women on a day, August 9th. Let's not just celebrate them on a month. Let's celebrate them every day. And indeed, not just women. Let's celebrate mankind, humankind, humanity. Let's celebrate one another every day. Don't just make it a one day or a 1 month thing, because I don't see our statistics going down with gender-based violence. I don't see our rape statistics going down. And yet we've been celebrating Women's Day and month for decades now. So it simply means that we're making a show of celebrating the month or the day, but then the rest of the 300 days, we go back to beating women, we go back to raping women, near South Africa. We can't do that. Women's Month does not mean cease gender-based violence for 1 month. Give them a break for 1 month. No, it means, you know, celebrate women consistently and constantly. Yeah. I want to encourage that. So this Saturday, I'm going to be at Good News Convention in Muldersdrift. I'll be there from about 8 o'clock to about 11. I'm going to be with a conference there and with Pastor Chuks Ugoihe and his wife, Pastor Toyin Ugoihe. I don't even know why I'm struggling over their name, because they're good friends of mine. And then from 11 o'clock, I'm going to be in Midrand at Acts Christian Church, which is pastored by also very close friends of mine, Apostle Peter DeFin and his wife, Pastor Tammy DeFin, their women's conference leader, Pastor Joan Naidu. We're going to be there from 11 o'clock. And I'm excited about their theme as well. It's called Blueprints, Blueprints. And so I will be there from 11 o'clock for the rest of the day in Midrand at the Glen Austin campus. The Gled Austin Midrand campus. So yeah, you, let's hang out. Let's hang out and let's talk about blueprints. What are the blueprints? What are the kingdom blueprints? What are the blueprints of a woman? What is God expecting of us in this season that we need to roll out those blueprints that are very important, because you need to have blueprints. So I look forward to seeing you there. If you're there, yeah, come give me a shout out. I'll be out there. I'll be there with my books, be out there with products, a new perfume. I have a new perfume called Musa perfume, which means grace. Another perfume called Moya perfume. So yeah, if you still want to buy your wife a lovely present, beautiful present, you can buy her either Moya or Musa. Bless her with one of the two perfumes. Amen. That's how we go out on missions. We get our missions fund from some of these products. Amen.
And alternatively, you can just go to Reverend Pilkapay's social media page and you can go see what's happening there. Rev, like always, just thank you for your time. And I'm always excited. I'm already thinking what next month's topic going to be. But we wait and see what's happening in politics.
Yeah, no, for sure. We don't pre-sort of plan our, because I always try to be fresh and address the issue at hand. So, you know. So that we can be relevant and impactful that way. So yeah, we'll just see what's happening in a couple of weeks, and hopefully we can give you some information that will help with some of your decisions and some of your responses, the way in which you respond. Amen. Thanks again, Dwayne.
Yeah, I love it. We're still on for that cook sister date. We still have to do cook sisters.
Yeah, but we must find a gluten-free cook sister, because I'm not doing sugar. I'm not doing stuff. Yeah, so I want to throw a cook sister challenge out there to somebody out there. Yeah, so to make a cook sister out of xylitol and no flour and no gluten. I'm sure somebody can make a plan. Dibur maka plan.
Is the cook sister not going to taste it like that?
Is a cook sister not a boer dish? So the boer maak a plan? Yeah, let the boer maak a rechte cook sister plan. Yeah.
Well, there you have it. If you can make a gluten-free, sugar-free cook sister, let me know. I'll pick it up and then I'll take it to Porcupine.
Let's do it. Cook sister challenge. And I volunteer to be the taster. Yes.
All right, Rev, I'm going to leave you on that one. Thank you for your time. And like you always say, enako.
Enako. Yes.